above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark stream shine the everlasting light. The hope and fears of all the needs are meant in me tonight. How silently the is him. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in the world of sin, Christ enters in. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. And I love you, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side till morning is nigh. And be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee
Reading the Christmas story from Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went into their own town and region. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the things that have happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed, and the shepherds were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God to all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
If you're able, will you stand with me as we sing these next two carols together?
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain.
Christ the Lord. You may be seated.
Luke 1:28-31. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your baby, you kiss the Son of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. The great I am.
This morning I'd like to share just a little thought or a devotion about Christmas with all of you as we proceed through this special event today. And the title of this little devotion is Christmas, God's Permanent Promise. God's Permanent Promise. You know, one of the great realities of Scripture is the prophetic nature of the Bible. And there are predictions that are made in Scripture that have already come true. So many about Jesus, and we'll talk about a few of those in a moment. And there are some that are still waiting to happen. And I assure you today they will come to pass just as these have already. For example, the second coming of Jesus, that's yet to happen. But before he comes a second time, Jesus had to come the first time. We're celebrating that this morning. You see, the prediction of Jesus' first coming was foretold throughout all of the Old Testament, starting in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and continuing all the way through to the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. In fact, there are at least 70 major Old Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled already concerning Jesus, having to do with his birth and his ministry and his death. But here we are this morning at Christmas time. And on that cold Bethlehem night, so many years ago, Jesus physically entered our world. God came down to dwell among us, God in skin. And upon drawing his first breath, powerful declarations or prophecies, words were fulfilled that had been inscribed on parchment by people, by prophets and priests and kings that had lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before this event. They had heard the voice of God concerning the facts and the events that described in detail the birth of Jesus and would come to bring salvation. That Jesus would come to bring salvation to mankind. And in wonderful amazement and with great joy, these prophetic proclamations have come to pass precisely as God has said. Now let me pose a question to you this morning. If someone's birth was predicted thousands of years ahead of time and announced by a heavenly host of angels on the night of his arrival, wouldn't you consider this event to be extremely significant and most important? In fact, most important in all of human history, right? And yet in our day, for so many people, in our community, in our culture, in our world around us, Christ is just simply ignored, and Christmas is just a time of festive parties and decorated trees and wrapped presents. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of these expressions unless they replace the real significance of why we're celebrating Christmas. You see, Christmas is more than just an event. It's more than just something that gets built up to after Thanksgiving and we look forward to it. And then the day after, it's just doldrums and we're just kind of depressed because all that energy and all that excitement has worn us down and made us tired. Christmas is more than just an event. It's a promise that's offered to us that originated long before that first Christmas night. In fact, God planned this entire event before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that God foreordained the coming child and all of the details of his birth and his life and his death. And it was all pre-planned and established by the Father and by the Word that we now know is Jesus and by the Spirit before God ever spoke our universe into existence. It was pre-planned. It was predetermined. There are such a long line of promises that God the Father has made to us and fulfilled regarding Jesus' birth. Let me just share just a couple of them with you. Thinking about what Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14, as he is writing hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and he writes this on parchment paper. He says, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Now, since the name Emmanuel, it means God with us, it's fulfilled the promise of God's presence. There's a promise to you and to me today that never will I leave you and never will I forsake you, the Bible says. God will be with us thick and thin, high and low, daylight and dark time. God will always be with us because He gave us Emmanuel, God with us. And although the Lord's always been with His people, He was now planning to live among them in a very unique way. You see, the eternal God of the universe was going to enter into the human race through physical birth to live among His people as a man while never ceasing to be God. Emmanuel would be physically present on the earth, walking among His people, revealing the Father to them and teaching them precious truths, showing them how to live, healing the sick. But that wasn't the end of God's blessing and God's promises. You see, even His name carries a promise. The angel in a dream tells Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 that Mary will bear a son and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now the English name Jesus that we have in our Bibles in the Hebrew is Yeshua. And it literally means Jehovah is salvation. So at the appointed time when Jesus began His ministry, John the Baptist identified Him. You remember the story where Jesus comes down to be baptized by John there at the Jordan River, and John sees Him coming and points to Him, to the crowd of people gathered around, and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a fitting description. For this was Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth, to die as our sacrificial lamb, thus convicting our hearts and bringing us and uniting us with God. You see, Christ promises so many things, and He promises for everything that we need abundant life. And so we see in Scripture that when we're weak, He's our strength. When we're discouraged, He comforts us. When we suffer anguish, He mends our broken heart. When we're tempted, He empowers us to overcome. When we're rejected, He accepts us. When we have financial needs, He is our provider. When we've sinned, He forgives. When we're confused, He gives us wisdom. And when we walk through trials, He provides His all-sufficient grace. You see, Jesus is not only our Savior, He is all of that and so much more than that. He's our constant companion, He's our comforter, and He's our guide. And finally, God's promises don't apply just to this life, but also give us hope in death. You see, Christ promises us that death is not the end. When we close our eyes and we breathe our last breath for the very last time, that's not the end. You see, in John chapter 11, when Martha's brother Lazarus died, Jesus told her, He said to her, "Have faith." He said, "Look to me because I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies." Life evermore. And that's why Christ came that first Christmas night to overcome sin and to overcome death. Tomorrow, as you celebrate Christmas with your traditions in your own special way, maybe with some family or friends, I want you to stop for a moment or two and I want you to take time to worship the one who came as a baby and who died as a man to give us everlasting life. And as you notice and ponder the gifts that are so beautifully wrapped and placed under your tree, I want you to think about the gift of salvation. And I want you to remember that Christmas is a personal and a permanent promise to you, a promise of forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And here's the bottom line. If you can trust Christ to save you, surely you can believe every other promise that He's made. For the Bible says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ," with a resounding yes. God loves you this morning. He loves you so much that He gave of Himself as Christmas's first and best Christmas gift. God bless you.
They didn't own a house, no crib, no toys waiting. Still they had their love for the child they were anticipating. He was born one winter night on a road between two towns. Wrapped him up so warm and tight and said, it looks like heaven come down. There was a new star shining in the sky up above. By his light that winter night, they found peace and perfect love. And if you want to find it, I know you always will. 'Cause that new star is shining for us still. They worried how to feed him, and simple trade was all they knew. It was hard enough to make ends meet when there were only two. But the cold, the dark, and hunger couldn't take away their joy. Would find a way for that precious baby boy. There was a new star shining in the sky up above. And by his light that winter night, they found peace and perfect love. And if we want to find it, I know we always will. 'Cause that new star is shining for us still. And if we want to find it, I know he always will. 'Cause that new star is shining for us still.
Amen. Thank you. Beautiful specials this morning by our church family. Thank you, those of you that have sung for us. We're going to move into our candle lighting ceremony this morning. And in your hand, I'm sure that you're holding a candle, and you've probably figured out that the way this works is you just flip the little button at the bottom and it'll come on in just a moment. The Bible says a lot about light. God is light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. But there are other scriptures that are prophetic, and as I just mentioned, about the prophecies that have come true. For example, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 says, the people walking in darkness, they've seen a great light. That's Jesus talking about our Savior. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. Listen to this part. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Then we move into the New Testament, and John writes this in John chapter 8. He said, again, Jesus spoke to the people, the masses, the crowds that were gathered, saying to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then Jesus says this. And this is a direct response or a direct statement to you and I this morning. He says to you and I that you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Let me repeat just a part of that. He said, you are the light of the world. So, church, let's not hide it under a bushel or a basket or hide it under some other form, but let's let it shine brightly for the glory of God. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet with me and join me by flipping on your candle if you haven't already. Just let's stand and light those little candles and hold them up high. Then I want you to look around and see what happens when the light of the world, Jesus Christ, enters the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And then the light of Christ reflects through us. It changes the whole dynamic. I'd like you to just remain standing as our candles are lit, as Steve leads us in this beautiful hymn, Silent Night. Let's sing it together with all of our hearts. Steve, lead us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Back of your bulletin this morning, there's a song that I've printed just so that you would have the words. But in just a moment, just a second, we're going to share a beautiful video and song together. I want you to hear the words, and may the words just pierce into our thoughts and into our hearts. When we hold our candles that are lit, we represent the light. Think about what this song is asking you and I to do. And let's be obedient unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
has been dead and gone. The best years are spent together. She was always strong, but now she's on her own. But the tough one never ends. No one laughs and no one sees. It's quiet there. Does anyone care?
Little boy from down the street. She cracks the door, surprised that he came over with flowers in his hands, like a little gentleman.
And that's what Christmas is all about. You hold in your hand the light. Let the light of God shine through. Everything that we do, light your world. It's been a delight to be together this morning, to just share some time, about an hour, just thinking about Jesus, just making this day and tomorrow and the days that follow all about Him. The beauty of this little light that we hold in our hand is it represents the light that's in our hearts as Christians. And our assignment for Christmas and every day that follows is to remember the words of that beautiful song. Go light your world. You might only make a difference to two or three, letting God's love shine through. We can do that. We must do that. For Jesus said, we are the light of the world because He is inside of us and shines through us. Would you stand with me for closing prayer? Just before I pray, may the light of Jesus Christ shine through us as we honor our blessed Savior. Cindy and I wish all of you the very best and merry and blessed Christmas. Joy and peace and happiness. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll fill our hearts with those things. Father, we love You. We praise You so much and we give You glory. Lord, thank You for bringing us together this morning on this beautiful Christmas Eve day. God, we're reminded and we've gone through the Christmas story and the beautiful songs that have been sung and the beautiful anthems that have been played and in our prelude. And God, we're just so excited that we are Christians and we can celebrate the true meaning, the real reason for the season. But Lord, it goes beyond a good feeling. It goes beyond just a joyful just stir in our heart. We have to light our world. And so I lift up Nettles Island Church to You today. Every man and every woman, every boy and girl that's here. God, may we just walk in the light of Christ. And may that light be reflected to those that need to hear it. And Father, I do pray that tonight, as we gather with family, and tomorrow is a family day, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that You will bless every person and every household, every individual, that Jesus, You will be exalted and magnified, and that Your joy and Your peace and Your life and Your happiness will flood every heart and every home. And I ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. God bless you as you go. There are bags at the entry and the exit doors for the candles. We want to use them again next year. So if you wouldn't mind as you go, just find that bag by the door and drop that candle. Turn it off. God bless everyone. God bless you.